reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, Text Number 10. The chapter is titled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Text Number 10. Suta Vacha.
Suta Vacha.
Srila Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The state administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? They are 1. Illicit connection with woman. 2. Indulgence in meat eating. 3. Intoxication. And 4. Taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above mentioned 4 symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaj Parikshit heard that some of the people of the state had already taken up those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the regime of Maharaj Parikshit, such symptoms of public life were practically unknown, and as soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaj Parikshit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states because everyone was peacefully under his subordination. But the Kali Yuga miscreants gave his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms are above mentioned are sure to infiltrate into social life. But it is duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali and thus save the innocent citizens who were pure in habit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight. So, the translation again. Suta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities.
Om Jnanatim Ranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam
సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో యాక్చువల్లీ ద భాగవతం ఈస్ రియలీ గోయింగ్ టు స్టార్ట్ soon within Bhagavatam, because the storyline is such that now the conversation is happening between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya headed by Shaunaka Rishi. And here the description is given how Maharaj Parikshit received the age of Kali. And from here actually the storyline starts, and how we can see how Shukadev Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. So the whole incidents actually unfold from this point. That is the time actually Maharaj Parikshit receives Kali, and he actually punishes and gives an opportunity for Kali Yuga to stay. He gives some resting places for the Kali personified. Now, having said this, here we can see that Maharaj Parikshit was not at all happy in receiving Kali Yuga. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are mentioned, and Maharaj Parikshit, when he detected such problems, he was not happy and he wanted to fight it out. Now, this gives us an opportunity to see a quality of a leader, qualities of Kshatriya, because this age of Kali practically is devoid of Kshatriyas. Even the so-called Kshatriyas lack qualities of Kshatriya. So Bhagavad Gita says in the 18th chapter, what are the symptoms of a Kshatriya? Kshatriya means the ruling class, the fighting class, the administrative class, who are actually leading the society. So Bhagavad Gita says, Shauryam tejo dhridir dakshyam yudhe chapi apalayanam danam ishara bhavascha kshatram karma sabhavajam. So these are the symptoms of a kshatriya, of a leader. The first quality is that his heroism. How can he act as a hero? Because, you know, he is courageous, he is a hero. Currently, if we see the so-called ruling class, maybe the minister for the military affairs, you know, he'll be just sitting in an office. And he'll be hero during the election time. When it is a time of ballot, he'll be a hero because he'll be traveling around and he'll be begging for vote. And his posters would be around all over the places. There'll be big billboards with his name and with his form. So in that way, they act to be heroes. But in reality, in terms of protecting religion, there is no heroism at all. Rather, they are happy in banning religions and to taking out completely religion from the curriculum if there is any studies. In fact, a few hundred years back, they said generally it has to be a secular state. The concept of secular state was introduced where the religionist or the priest have no right on ruling class. So the ruling class is completely independent. They are secular, completely devoid of spiritual principles. And it was considered progress in the society. We can see it happened in all over the world, you know, even in many countries. And it has two implications, and there are two reasons behind, practically speaking. One is, ruling class became corrupt. We can see in the West, you know, starting from French Revolution, you know, the so-called ruling class, they were removed. And a secular government was established. So it was followed by other European countries. We can see in the further history that the so-called kingly people were removed from the scene and the so-called democratic republics were established. But sad to say that there was no improvement in terms of ruling. There is no improvement in terms of the actual situation of the people. People are still suffering. And there is no religious principles established in the society. So there are no real heroes in terms of establishing religious principles. Whereas in the time of Mahabharata, in the time of Pandavas, the kings were known as Raja Rishis. They were great saintly people. They were pure devotees. They were spiritualists. And they knew both spiritual and material needs of the citizens. So as we can see, Maharaj Parikshit, who was a pure devotee, when he detected just the symptoms of the age of Kali, as it is mentioned here, illicit connection with women, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. When he found these symptoms were there, or some of the people were engaged in this illicit activities, he was ready to fight it out. So they are real leaders. And the second symptom of a king or a ruler is that he is resourceful. He is resourceful. They have the ability actually to, in terms of resourceful, in terms of assets, because the king needs assets to rule over. He needs the kingdom. He needs money. He needs power. And they were able to collect money for ruling. Citizens used to give 25% as tax. Now, we can see in Australia, I think it is a beginning slab, I think, of tax, 25%. So, 25 or 30%, that's where the taxation starts. And for the ancient kings, like pure devotees like Maharaj Parikshit, Vedic time, the taxation was 25%. But it was flat. It was not like, you know, there was not a gradation, it was a flat tax, 25%, and that's it. But the king used to facilitate both material and spiritual needs. And currently we can see the rulers are resourceful in making money for themselves. They are resourceful in filling their pockets and their relatives and friends. So that is Kali Yuga. In terms of looking after the people, no, they are not really resourceful. They can't. Even in a welfare state, you know, Australia is a welfare state, there is dole. There are financial support, there are social supports. But in terms of giving some spiritual knowledge, it's a complete failure. And what happens when there is such kind of social support without spiritual knowledge? People become lazy. People find a means to get some support from the government. They abuse such support. We can see in this country. Third one is courage in battle. A leader is supposed to be, a kshatriya is supposed to be courageous in battle. He's ready to go, he's ready to lead the army and he's ready to fight. So it is known as yuthecha apalayanam. That is, he will never run back if there is a battle. He will just go forward. He will fight and die, but he will never return. Yuthecha apalayanam. That is we can see that the quality, yuthe means in the battle, apalayanam. Palayanam means running away, fleeting away. But apalayanam, he will never run back in a fight. Currently, if you see minister for the military affairs, he also possesses the quality, that is yuddhecha apalayana, because he will never go for a battle. So he doesn't have to run away from battle, because he will never go for a battle. Which minister has ever gone for a battle? There is no question of going for a battle. They will just give orders and someone else would die for their behalf. That's it. That is the kshatriya prowess. They don't have real courage. They don't have any ability whatsoever to go and fight. So we can see in the Vedic times, the Kshatriyas, they were given two kinds of education primarily. One is they were given Vedic education in terms of the spirituality, and second was military education, Dhanurvidya. Dhanurvidya was part of Veda. It is still part of Veda. Dhanurvidya means military education. So all the kings, we can see when Pandavas, when they were kids, they got educated by Dronacharya, because their grandfather, Bhishma Dev, he was looking for a suitable teacher to educate in military science for both Pandavas and Kauravas. So he couldn't find a suitable person. But one day, these Pandavas and Kauravas, they were playing, and while they were playing, they lost their ball in a well. So they were thinking, you know, the ball was just stuck there, and they were thinking, what to do? We can't play anymore. And they were trying their best means to get that ball out from the well. So then, Dronacharya, he was, even though he was a Brahmana, he got educated as a Kshatriya. So he was expert in military science. So he was walking past, and he asked this princely boys, oh, what are you doing? So they said, we lost our boats and we can't take it by all means. So Dronacharya said, oh, you are foolish children, you know. You are Kshatriyas, but you don't know how to get a boat from the well. So they said, no, we don't know. So he actually took his bow and arrow. Oh no, he actually took a grass. He shot a grass to the ball. So first grass actually stuck into the ball, and then from there he took the second grass, and it was stuck to the neck, the first grass, and it was, he made a rope out of grass and actually pulled that ball out. So the whole old boys were surprised to see this. He said, who are you? So he said, you know, he said, you know, he just revealed himself. But and they went back to their grandfather Bhishma Dev and so told them that, look, we found a person who actually helped us getting our ball, and he was such an amazing personality. So immediately Bhishma Dev understood who was that person. So Bhishma Dev personally invited Dronacharya to teach, to be the teacher of all the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And they got a complete education in the military science. And we know specifically that Duryodhan was trained by Balaramji in club fighting. So and we know Arjuna, he took so much of time to perform austerity to get so many different kinds of arrows which were functioning just by mantras. So it's a very different military science if you think about it. We think that if you talk about bow and arrow, we think it is kind of primitive people. When we hear about Mahabharata and when we hear about people used to fight with bow and arrow, here we can see in this verse, we think that these kings were primitive. But the reality is that, okay, they had this bow and arrow, but they had the power of mantras, the sacred hymns. They had the power of mantras. And this mantra, the sound vibrations were so powerful that with the power of mantra and with the strength of these arrows, they could create wonders. They could create rain. They could create weapons which was as powerful as lightning. So it's a whole different science altogether. When we hear Dhanurvidya, it's a different science. It is not that is present in the current age. Even there was Brahmastra. You know, we saw about Brahmastra a few chapters behind when son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, when he released Brahmastra. So Brahmastra was kind of atomic weapon. The only thing we can compare is atomic weapon. It was so hot and can burn anything. It was so hot and it was bright. It's just like lightning, and it was so powerful that it has the ability to burn the whole universe. And the most interesting aspect of Brahmastra is that it can just hit the target without failure. Not like, you know, there are so many hundreds of military experiments and finally they miss the target. You know, we see all the time. But Brahmastra was such that Ashwatthama shot Brahmastra to the womb of Mother Uttara. Womb. We had to think how intricate. To kill the embryo. And the Brahmastra would just burn the embryo and nothing else. See the potency of Brahmastra. It didn't actually kill the whole palace. It didn't kill the city. It's not like our Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where, you know, the whole city were wiped out and the innocent people were killed, all the buildings were destroyed, and after decades there are remnants of such problems still present. So it was not like that. It was so precise. So that is the Vedic science of military art. So it's completely different. And so the Kshatriyas, they were completely trained in this art. And they took it as an opportunity to fight if it is required. And next quality of a Kshatriya is he's generous. He's happy to give donation to Brahmanas. And they knew whom to give charity. We think we are very generous when we are walking in the Swanson street and a busker is sitting and we are throwing $1 coin and we think we are the most generous people. People think like that. But the reality is that if we are giving in charity something, we should know whom we are giving and what are their qualifications, because we need to know what will they use it for. And I have seen, because when we distribute books, sometimes we are along with buskers. Because buskers, they will be doing their job and we are doing our job. So apparently it looks like we are also busking. Usually we become quite friendly with buskers on street. It has happened mostly during marathon, because we go there day in and day out and we have Srila Prabhupada's books, we have Bhagavad Gita and other books with us, and buskers are sitting there. So we had to be friendly with them because we are doing a similar kind of thing in one sense. Even though our activity is completely spiritual, their activity is completely material. So we make friends with them, and many times at the end of the day they give us some money and take a book. So even they get purified. But the thing is that many of them, after busking, at the end of the day they collect whatever money they got and they go to the pub. So that is their activity. That is, people think they are giving something in charity, but actually they are helping them in doing some illicit activity, which are not beneficial for them at all. So this is generosity. And Kshatriya, we can see even Vasudev, when Krishna was born, he was in a jail, still he wanted to give such a big donation, big things in charity. He gave thousands and thousands upon cows in charity. He gave so much of gold to Brahmanas. So he was doing everything in the mind. He couldn't actually give physically because he was imprisoned. But as a Kshatriya, he was ready to give charity. We know the story of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, he was a demon. All his intentions were demoniac. But still, he was ready to give anything in charity. He makes a statement that, "I am ready to give in charity my own life if a Brahmana asks. My own life." So this is the kind of, one sense, kind of integrity they had. Even though they were demoniac, they were completely against spiritual principles, still they had this kind of principles, moral principles. They were generous. Now, currently, the politicians are very generous in giving promises, especially we can see in Indian politics. They are very generous in giving so many promises. Before election, they would give so many promises, right? I'll give, some promises are very funny, I'll give color TV for all the people of the state. Have you heard this kind of promises? Color TV. And this and that, so many kinds of promises. They'll give the promises, that's it. And there is no question of fulfilling those. Some of them they might fulfill. They are basically governed by rich business people. So in any part of the world, they don't have independence. Actually, a political power, one who is in political power, a king, need to be autocrat. He should have all power. But when we hear that at this point, we think it is impossible and they can actually exploit such position. They can abuse such position. But if somebody is really just and has qualifications, that is actually a wonderful position. If they have all the power, they can do best for the public. They can do best for everyone, both materially and spiritually. But the system was so abused. So people think that such a system is not good. They think it is, is prehistoric and it is unjust. But the reality is, it is just a matter of qualification of the ruler. Srila Prabhupada makes a strong point in this regard, regarding democracy. One thing he says, democracy is nothing but demons crazy. demons crazy because the rulers are crazy. And he also makes a strong point in the purport in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. He says that people are like just animals, just like dogs. So dog-like men elect another dog and make him their leader. So this is democracy. Democracy means dog-like men, they choose one among them, he is another dog, as a leader. That is democracy. This is a strong statement of Srila Prabhupada. So we can see practically in this world, that is, nobody is qualified. Say, think about this. The people who are electing, they are not qualified. Correct? They are after the symptoms of the age of Kali. They are asking for, give me more intoxication, more illicit sex, more gambling, and more meat eating. That's what is demanding. The people are demanding these things. And who can provide such illicit things, they make them the leader. So where is the qualification? So naturally, the leader is not qualified, and the people are not also not qualified. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, I came to West to make brahmanas, to make qualified leaders who knows the spiritual principles and who can actually guide the society. So Srila Prabhupada wants all of us to become brahmanas. So brahmanical initiation is only a beginning of brahmanical status, only a beginning, only a training. Just like the first initiation means it's just the initiation, it's the beginning. First initiation means the beginning of our spiritual practice, our official connection into parampara, to the disciplic succession. In the same way, brahmanical initiation means we are entering, we are trying to be brahmanas. So it's a practice. To be a brahmana, to be a qualified leader is a practice. It doesn't happen automatically. We need to know what are the qualifications and we need to practice. So here we can see, even for a leader, when such a kshatriya is trained under brahmanical guidance in Vedic principles, he can become a strong leader and he can guide the society. So currently, the leaders are actually helping to spread the symptoms of the age of Kali. That is unfortunate. Is there any government actually ban any of these activities? Banning brothels? No. Brothels are encouraged. It is supported. And intoxication? Intoxication has become the prime necessity for the society. It is a necessity for the society. Actually, if you remove intoxication from the society, people will go crazy. In that sense, intoxication is helping. In that sense. Why? Because people are so frustrated. It's a fact. Even in a corporate job, if people work from Monday till Friday, people are exhausted and they have already gone crazy. They are completely stressed out, frustrated from the job. And intoxication is a solution in the mode of ignorance. They are actually taking the solution in the mode of ignorance, so that they can try to forget. Forgetfulness is a bliss. It's in the mode of ignorance, but it's a bliss in the mode of ignorance. It's a fact, because if somebody is affected by such something, say for instance, if somebody departed from the family, somebody near and dear, people think if the time will actually give us forgetfulness, and with that forgetfulness, people will live a happy life. Okay, everything is okay. They live, keep living finally. But if someone thinks if there is no forgetfulness, then if the all pain we had, all the suffering we had, if we had to carry them all along, it'd be a torture forever. So forgetfulness helps. So intoxication is a means for forgetfulness. But the fact, reality is that it comes back. When one is out from the grip of intoxication, everything is back to normal. So this is the kind of intoxication has become the part of the society, because people need it. Because people do not know what is the highest solution, a spiritual solution, or a solution in the mode of goodness. People don't know. So the work is in the mode of passion, and that is leading them to further ignorance. And a solution is provided in the mode of ignorance, in the form of intoxication. And people think all sort of things after intoxicating. So the stability in the family is gone. These are symptoms of the age of Kali. People are not more trustworthy. People are quarrelsome. So this is the age of Kali. Now, for Maharaj Parikshit, it was not at all palatable. It was not at all palatable because he was a Vedic king. So he wanted to fight. And as it is mentioned here, a Kshatriya is very happy to fight. It's amazing. A Kshatriya, if there is a fight, Kshatriya is very happy. In Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned in the second chapter, Krishna himself says, Yadarchaya, Yadarchaya, Chopvannam, Sorgadwaram Apavartam, Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Lepate, Yuttham Idrshe. That is, Krishna says that actually Kshatriyas are so happy if they get an opportunity to fight. Because it means that Sorgadwaram Apavartam. Because if they get killed in a battle, they can go to Sorga, to the heavenly planet, not to the spiritual world, just to the heaven, where there are more material enjoyments. So the Kshatriyas are happy. If they win, it was an argument of Krishna against Arjuna's, that if when Arjuna refused to fight, Krishna says, okay, if you win the battle, if you kill all the enemies, you can enjoy the kingdom. And on the other hand, if you get killed in the battle, still you can enjoy the heavenly pleasures. He was telling in both sides it is win-to-win situation. Because Sorgadwaram Apavartam. So that is the mood of a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya is happy to fight. So Srila Prabhupada made a statement in America when the time of drafting, when the young generation were forcefully sent to Vietnam for war. So they were actually getting people who were not interested in fight. They were not Kshatriya by nature. They had no fighting spirit at all. And they were drafted to Vietnam. So Srila Prabhupada said, the system is completely wrong. If you are engaging someone in fighting, they should have some military spirit. So that is the Vedic principle. Engagement according to one's propensity. Guna karma vibhagasya. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasya. So Chaturvarnyam, the system, the social order is according to guna and activity. The quality and activity. So traditionally, in other yugas, people were born of such quality to a great, great extent. So if somebody is born in a Kshatriya family, generally they can have full Kshatriya quality. And with the help of training, they become completely qualified and they can actually rule the kingdom. That reason, kings, their son, they were able to rule the world after the departure of their parents. So that succession went on. But it wasn't absolute. That is, a son of a Kshatriya could change. He could become a Brahmana. So an example is given, for instance, in Bhagavatam, in case of Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev had 100 sons. And first one was King Bharat, Maharaj Bharat. He ruled over the world. And I think 7 of them became kings. They possessed Kshatriya qualities. And 9 of them became Navayogendras. They became Paramahamsas. They became saintly person and who started preaching the Bhagavad Dharma. And rest became Brahmanas. So it's an indication that it's not just by birth. One cannot become a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra just by birth. But they must possess qualification. So if not, they were trained accordingly. And they could actually occupy their respective positions. So that is Vedic system. So Srila Prabhupada said, these people who were drafted, they didn't have the qualifications, so they didn't want to fight. They were fearful of fight. They wanted to run away. And Prabhupada gives the example of, he was giving the example of generalists from Punjab. So he was saying, we have a prominent province, a state, Punjab. And the people, they are very much interested in joining the army because they have the fighting spirit. So Srila Prabhupada said, you know, that is actually Kshatriya spirit. It's not just by force, but by qualification. So this is the Vedic system. And Maharaj Parikshit, he fought. And the analogy is given, is just like a sportsman is eager to go for a sports match. It's amazing, right? If there is a sporting match, Olympics. If there is Olympics, people are ready to prepare from, you know, 5 or 6 years before. When one Olympics finishes, they start preparing for the next one. And 5-6 years, they do training, intense training. And they are happy for that. So the Kshatriya spirit was such that they are happy for that. And they did that. So now that we are coming upon a very interesting point, that currently Kshatriyas are not there anymore. The actual leaders are not there in the society. And it is very difficult to establish a Vedic leadership in the society currently, straightforward. Okay, we need a state where the ruler, the prime minister, is a Kshatriya, a Vaishnava Kshatriya. He's a devotee of the Lord. It's very difficult. So what can we do? So now, the point is, we have to come to the leadership position. We may not be able to come to the position of prime minister straight away, but as individuals, we can set the right example. We can set the right example as brahmanas. Those who have that quality, one can become brahmana. We can train to be a brahmana by studying shastra and applying shastra in our life. So we can come to a brahmanical position, and then we can, in whichever position we are, we can guide the dependents. In a family, one can guide the dependent. At workplace, one can guide as much as one can. This is our actual preaching. Our preaching is based on giving the brahmanical principles. So initially we try to give some mode of goodness principles, and from there we will take them to spiritual status, to the Vaishnava status. So we have to now act as leaders, because we cannot wait anyone to come. So actually the actual leaders are coming. It's a fact. When? At the end of Kali Yuga. That is, 432,000 years later, when Kali comes and kill everyone, and the actual leaders are hiding in this world. I think a few of them. They are hiding, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, in a place called Kalapa, in the mountains of Himalayas. Few leaders are actually hiding, and they are waiting for the beginning of Satyuga. So when the next Satyuga, when the next Yuga cycle starts, they come out, and they actually start populating the world, and they become the kings, and they will rule over the whole earth. So there are qualified people, and their longevity is very high, thousands upon thousands of years. There are people, but they won't come at this point of time, because this age is too degraded for them. So they are waiting for the Yuga Avatar, Kali. Now, currently the only position for us to fight against the infiltration of these four symptoms of Kali is primarily through chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So as it is mentioned, we cannot stop the symptoms of Kali. Even if we say there is this golden age, we cannot stop the symptoms of Kali. People might think that when we say, okay, first 10,000 years of Kali after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is golden age. So there shouldn't be any symptoms of the age of Kali. There shouldn't be any gambling or meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, nothing should be there. We might think like that. No. The reality is that the process of Krishna consciousness, starting from hearing and chanting, is just like an umbrella. So if we have this umbrella, we are protected from these vices. Others, they may suffer from all these kind of things, but we have the protection. So in a rainy day, if we have the umbrella, we can just go out. We don't get wet. In the same way, when we have this holy name with us, then we get protection. So we have to take the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously, and we have to preach Krishna consciousness. Then we are coming to brahmanical status, because then parhan, we are actually learning and we are teaching. So first we have to learn shastra, and then we have to teach them. So this is our duty as members of Krishna consciousness. We have to teach the real spiritual science. Because religions have failed. It's a fact. Western religions have failed to give answers to many questions. Why bad things happen to good people? People ask this question often. How to give a good understanding about evolution of the consciousness? Western religions have failed. To speak something tangible about creation of this world, the Western religions have failed. Couldn't give any proper understanding. So all things just looks like folklore. So those who are intelligent, they actually move away from such religions. So it is our prime duty that answers to all these questions are elaborately given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is our duty to scientifically understand these things and present to the contemporary society in a scientific fashion so they can understand. So if you talk about consciousness, the Western world knows about consciousness for a few decades. Before that, the consciousness studies was not there at all. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is beginning from the understanding of consciousness and spirit soul. So we have an upper hand on spirituality from these books. It is not our credit, but it is already given in the Vedic literature. So we have to take use of that. And we have to prepare ourselves to present to the current world. Because if he just becomes just present, Prabhupada said, okay, present this message as it is. It's a fact, we have to present this message as it is. But it doesn't mean that we have to forget the desha, kala and patra, time, place and circumstances. We have to present in a way that the current society can understand. That requires preparation. That requires reading of these books. We need to read other books. We may have to be familiar with the current news. So we have to work. Otherwise it is impossible to help the society. We cannot just say, okay, you have to believe in all these kind of things. No, it's just a fanatic statement. We have to present scientifically. We have to convince ourselves how scientific is Bhagavatam. First ourselves. Then we can present to others. So that is the whole mission that is present in front of us. So we had to take this opportunity. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, they are designated by the Lord and they are coming from the Brahma's line. Brahma's sons are Manus and Prajapati. So in that line they are coming and their longevity is very high. And not just normal human being, they are empowered. So they are living. So they won't come to public vision. So it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that because to our understanding the time is cyclical by nature. It's not just linear, you know, it's just going in one direction. But when we see the yuga cycle, as we know, it is going as a cycle. The first stage, the golden age of the Satyuga, then Treta, the silver, then the bronze age, the Dwapara Yuga, and finally the Kali Yuga, the iron age. So that is going to rotate. So the whole cycle is actually well planned by the Lord. So that's the reason Maharaj Parikshit, even though he tried to stop the age of Kali, but when he was departing from this world, he didn't think that, okay, I had to live here and the Lord, oh, kindly extend my life that I can fight this age of Kali rest of my life. He didn't ask for that. The reason is, he knew that, okay, this is the plan of the Lord. Kali Yuga is there because there are so many conditioned souls who are hankering for these illicit activities. Who are hankering for these four vices. So they are waiting. When is that opportunity coming? I want to engage in all these illicit activities. So they want to do that. And this material world is a perfect situation to act independently from the Lord through all these illicit activities. So as the merciful Lord, whatever independence one has, he has to fulfill those independence. So he has to provide facility to fulfill those desires. So the Lord is actually sanctioning this age of Kali. So Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't interfere, but at the same time he tried to fight. He did fight. He did punish the personification of the age of Kali. But he didn't think that, okay, I had to fight it out and I had to live forever for that. No, he didn't think that like that because he saw the hand of the Lord behind. So we had to see both sides. Yeah. Is there any further? Yes, Prabhu. Question, because what is actually one's nature, not exactly the spiritual nature, but even materially according to our karma, what's our nature and what are the abilities? Currently people are completely unaware of that. I am just speaking materially. It's even it's affecting many children as well. In India, in many places, the parents forget to see what are the abilities in children. Especially I have seen in India, they want their children to be such and such, maybe a doctor, and just push for that. Don't see what are the aptitude of such children. And it happens in many places. And the final guiding principle becomes, how can they become rich? And to that end, whatever is necessary, they are happy to do. So the means and the end. The end is very clear, that is money. And means, whatever means towards that, they will take. So this is the current approach. So the ability, the actual skills are completely forgotten. So even many people, the mind is so clouded, materially speaking, people's mind is so clouded, they don't know actually what they should do in their career. They don't know what are their strengths and weakness. They don't know. They try something, don't work, and try something else, try for a few years, doesn't work, we don't fit into it, just going back and forth, this and that. So, I'm saying this problem, what are one's own qualities, people are completely unaware. So, as devotees, we are in a better position. The reason is we do chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That helps us to clear our mind, to settle our mind. And then we don't have to move for passions. Just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and just by associating with the devotees, and just first we had to engage in all kinds of services. Just try all services. Really speaking, just try all services. Then it becomes clear that what is my main area of focus. What can I do? It becomes clearer from within to some degree, from our fellow devotees and also from our spiritual master. It becomes clear. We need to have a mission in our life. Even in our spiritual life, we need to have a mission. What am I supposed to do? What I have to do for Srila Prabhupada? So initially, even though it is not clear, it's just a matter of time. If you are sincere, and if you think in which way I can please Srila Prabhupada nicely, if you think like that, Krishna will reveal our mission, what can we do in our life for Krishna. So that is very important. And second point, by action, we all have to preach by our action. For that, we don't have any choice. We have to preach by our action. By our sadhana and by our service, whatever it is, we have to preach by our action. Otherwise, it is just armchair philosophy. Just like many Western philosophers, they are known for their philosophy, but that is never come into action. There is always a distance between the philosophy and the actual action. So Vedic philosophy is not like that. There is a correspondence between the philosophy and the action. And for us as devotees, there has to be such connection between the philosophy and our action. So with action, we all have to preach. But if we ask what are our specific services, then we have to keep doing something in our devotional life. And then things will be revealed. I'll give some classic examples for instance, because in Srila Prabhupada's time, or in the beginning of Krishna consciousness movement, as I have heard from devotees, there was no question of looking into one's particular talent or a particular mood or whatever. People were just engaged in the same kind of service. Practically most of the devotees who joined the movement were engaged in book distribution. Some were good, some were not good. But it was fine. The point is, it was fine. The reason is, just by doing that service, any service, and some were engaged in deity worship, some were in cooking, any service, even actually does some service for some time, then actually Krishna will give the right opportunity to do the right service, what we can actually do in a better way, or what Krishna actually wants us to do. Because if we want to do, we are talking about a career of devotional service. We are not just talking about devotional service for 1 year or 2 year or 3 year or 4 year, no. We are talking about devotional service for decades, the whole of our life. So, initial phase, we do just any service, it's fine. And I was hearing a lecture by His Grace Vyasaki Prabhu. So he was telling, initial years, he was just distributing books. He was in the library part, he went traveling different parts of the world and he was distributing books. He was not singing. Interesting, right? He was not singing. But as time progressed, we can see Krishna utilized his talent. Now he is spreading the holy names all around the world. See? So if we have some ability and Krishna thinks that it has to be utilized, Krishna will utilize that in the right way, at the right time. We have to only think, our aim is to do whatever service we have, and also we have to see the desire of our spiritual master, and we have to try ourselves to align to the desire of our spiritual master as much as possible, cooperating with the current circumstances. It's not like, okay, spiritual master want me to do this thing, so I won't do anything else in this world. So that is not being cooperative to the society, right? Because spiritual master may want to do something, so we had to try our best to fulfill the desire of the spiritual master while being in cooperation with the rest of the society. So Krishna will help to do that. So first we had to purify. Actually, our real service, whatever we are meant to do in our Krishna consciousness, we are going towards that progressively. The only thing what is waiting is our purification. So more we are purified, Krishna will give us more services and more responsibilities. If we are not getting that, it means we are not yet purified. We had to be more sincere in our services. That's all. Is that clear? The point? Is there anything further? Yes, Prabhu.
He mentioned in the Vedic times it was merely a monarchy that was working.
Yes.
In this day, subject to finding the right person. But is that what's recommended in if you have the right person available, then it should be a monarchy. And if you are supposedly hereditary, it's hard to find that qualified person in
yeah.
the day.
Yes.
Democracy is the best solution, or is it communism or on those lines?
Nothing is the best situation, because as far as there is no Krishna consciousness, nothing is best. Whether it's monarchy or whether it's democracy, nothing we can consider best. Best is a Krishna conscious government, or at least support for Krishna consciousness. That's what we need actually. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sasaya Thakur said, there is no scarcity for anything in this world. Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, there is no scarcity for anything in this world but Krishna consciousness. There is scarcity for spirituality, the true spirituality. There is no scarcity for anything else. Everything, all other problems are just based on mismanagement. So, as far as we have spirituality, if we spread spirituality more and more, then there is a solution. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, if we don't get a leader, okay, that's a far-off thing at this point. Having a Krishna conscious leader governing this world, okay, that's a far-off thing. That's alright. But if there's a tiny fraction of the society take up to Krishna consciousness, even a 5 to 10%, 5% become Krishna conscious, still there will be changes, not just spiritually, even materially. There will be change in the society, even just based on a material ground, there will be peace and prosperity just because of God consciousness, true God consciousness. So that is the thing. So even if we can't come to the stage, okay, the whole country become Krishna conscious, no, at least a small fraction, that will help the entire country, not just the devotees, but the entire country and the entire world. So, okay. Anything further? If not, okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasrimad Bhagavatam ki.